comfortable. Let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
And welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
We are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show, we focus on education. In fact, in all of our work, we focus on education. But particularly through this show, through Mick's deep trance channeling, we are able to bring you the truth and the facts about the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing dealing with death. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open, and the number to call is 877-876-5227. That's a toll-free number, and it's toll-free in Canada, 888-810-8322. And for our international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a short phone call. And it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, as Sylvie said, welcome to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. We have another radio show for those interested, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to know more about us, our books, our work, maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each and every week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, and he's the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he's come back in this way, to share the vast insights and wisdom he's gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. Now, I don't take too long as on this part of the program, because actually as spirits are drawing close to me, they begin to subdue my mind, and as regular listeners will know, I start to talk rubbish at this point. So yeah. I'm not going to succumb to that. I'm just going to go off, okay, in a kind of sleep. Altered state, more than an altered state, it's our unconsciousness. Okay.
And believe me, if you're not a regular listener, he does. He talks total gibberish because, like he said, spirit draw close to him, and then really that means that once he's closed his eyes, it's really literally just about 5 or 8 seconds before spirit guide Gregory Hay is with us and in working mixed body and vocal cords and everything, so that he can take over the rest of the show. Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. So when Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. So it's not thoughts that are taken from Mick's mind or Mick translating a spirit person's thoughts to us. It's 100% somebody else. It's spirit guide Gregory Hay. And Mick won't be aware of anything that has happened when he comes back. And he very rarely remembers where they take him. So sometimes he does, but very rarely. The spirit team do not have any religious bias or political persuasion, as we don't either. And our mission is only to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit. Spirit world have come to open our eyes and answer questions that we want to know and offer their advice. So with that in mind, if you have an idea for a show topic, do drop us a line at enq@spirit-teaching.com. And once again, our website is spirit-teaching.com. So today, if you would like to phone us with a question to Gregory, it's not a reading type of show. It's joining in with the conversation that we're having. Maybe it's a topic that is close to your heart. Maybe you are going through some sort of bereavement at the moment. In particular today, like I say, we're talking about death, because let's face it, it's the only thing that unites all of us, really, birth and death. At the end of the day, it's something that's going to happen to everybody. Even though I think there are a few people that that actually say that that's not going to happen, but to them. But believe me, it will. And if you would like to phone us and talk to Gregory, ask him a question about anything, then, like I said, the number to call is a free phone number. It's toll free in the US and Canada. And in the US, it's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. And an international call is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, well. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light. As always, peace be upon your journey, friend.
Thank you. I hope my voice is going to hold up.
You'll have to keep sipping water, friend.
I will, won't I? Yes.
Like a fisherman's friend.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are. So, I was just saying that the death experience is something that is affects everybody, basically. Everybody personally and everybody during their life with their loved ones.
Yes.
On a fairly regular basis, really.
Yes, because it happens to friends, family. It happens to every single being on your side of life. And yet it seems that it's such disgrace covering it.
Yeah.
Particularly, I have to say, about the prolonging of life over it. Almost as though some sections of community have to deal with it more as an adversity, whereas other sections have to languish in it, really. That life is something that is continuous, taken right up to the very nth degree. But they will do anything to persevere and preserve the aspect of life, regardless of what that person may be going through, what the actual... I say this, what the actual condition happens to be, how it's affecting them. So you have people in, shall we say, a permanent vegetative state, and even they are kept alive. Yes, for good reason perhaps, because they may not be in a permanent vegetative state. It is obviously, at times, a possibility to communicate with those in that state of consciousness. So it actually means, my dear friends, that for many people, it is possible, even in that tentative state of life, that communication may be revealed, and that, in fact, they may even be brought back from that strange twilight world, if you will, just purely because something has initiated it or created it for that organism to begin again in the physical life. That isn't necessarily anything to do with the spirit world either. It just may well be that the conditions are right for that physical entity to continue. You must never leave sight of the fact that you are physical organisms. Yes, I know you're spirit having a physical experience, but at the same time, you rely upon the physical organism in order to sustain that life in physical actuality. When a being passes, there, of course, are always these extreme variances of opinion. Some people watch and admire as their loved one slips painlessly and silently into the other side of life. Maybe even they may observe different situations which happen to them. They may even observe, of course, their spirit actually leaving their physical form. And for others, it may well be that their sight is purely fixed upon the situation, the state of physical that the physical being is in, is going through, and that's something which rests with them. So they're saying, "Oh well, yes, but Mother passed and had a terrible time of it," and that kind of thing. Yes, I understand. It can be a painful experience because that is a remnant of the physical. What you have to remember, however, is, of course, as we have always said, that the point of passing is the same for everyone. The moments leading up to it are what are different. The actual specific task, the situation which unfolds, which leads up to you passing from physical life, is the thing that actually creates the anger, the resentment, the fear, if you will, of people on your side of life.
Mm. And, you know, no matter how many times we talk about this subject, which obviously we cover quite a lot, it's the nature of the business that we work in.
Yes.
It's just incredible. It's the same questions nearly all of the time, really. And we get constant emails and inquiries about this, answering people's questions about exactly maybe what we can do on a more, how shall we say, a more positive and instrumental level ourselves to
yes.
contact our loved ones. Which is, obviously, there's so many different opinions that people hear about, and I think we place restrictions ourselves onto that, don't we? We put hurdles in the way ourselves, really.
Yes, absolutely. It's exactly the same as someone reporting the sighting of an unidentified flying object, if you will, that person beholds it to themselves, and then when you are observing in the same instance someone who is passing, it is very personal to you. And for that person, of course, it is very personal. So how are you going to make the condition ripe for you to be able to make contact with that loved one? In exactly the same way, as I say, people try to emanate a conversation with beings from extraterrestrial space. You are also trying to emanate contact with loved ones in the spirit world. I know that some people define the spirit world as being of a lesser intent than the greater universe, which of course is absolute rubbish, because the whole interstation of the situation between the ether world and the universe is at one. So when you refer to the universe and the energies outside of that, perhaps to do with some form of ascensionism or whatever, it is in actual fact what you are still referring to is the ether world. It isn't some other place. People who have become enlightened, either in their physical journey or in the spirit world, are not somewhere else. They're all in the ether world. There are no different levels or structures. There is a graduation of energy change which brings about a person's well-being or understanding, their wisdom, for example. So, if you are a person who is, let's say, you have just witnessed the passing of your favorite auntie, and your favorite auntie is a person who loved to do certain things, knitting, sewing, whatever it was, or perhaps liked to make food. And it may well be that your favorite auntie loved food in particular of a certain kind. Then part of the possibility of how this auntie, this favorite loved one, may well be able to communicate with you could well be the smell of food. And that's a memory gift. It's a memory gift which that spirit has borne that memory with the love from her own cellular structure memory of her physical state. And that's something which others in the spirit world are then able to coat in a a form of plasmic sphere, if you like, and have given it to you as a gift, have released it as a gift, as a memory gift of her, because that is her love for you which has brought that possibility to the surface. And so don't you see that this is something just purely from the spirit world as a gift to you? You as an individual can accentuate the love you have for your favorite auntie purely by saying and bringing out the feeling of love from within herself and directing it to her. We can see that this attraction will be something which will be enhanced, of course, if you do this in silence, in a moment that is still, perhaps, in your dwelling, in your house, or wherever you live, perhaps even at work, in a break, something like that. Something as mundane as that can actually bring extraordinary contact between yourself and a loved one in the spirit world. And it's really quite easy to do and achieve for yourself. You don't necessarily have to have developed mediumistic skills in order to be able to do this, because you're a spirit having a physical existence. So that in itself, it means to say that your whole being is actually related, of course, to your favorite aunt and to all of the others who have passed before her, that you have known and shared love with, friends included, I have to say. And it is within these memories that you structure that they are actually able to come through.
And there's, you were saying about the food, and sometimes I think a very common one is tobacco.
Oh, yes.
My grandpa's favourite tobacco, I can smell that, and then I know he's around, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, yes. A pipe smoke in particular is very dear to the hearts of many, because they are very fond memories for those people. They're the sort of activities that they loved to do. And particularly because, of course, they were times when that person was actually allowed to connect. Yes, I understand they're smoking tobacco, and that's perhaps a drug or has that kind of effect. But the point is, for many people, doing that is something which actually allows them to have this space of peace within herself and actually connect to a higher level, upon a higher level, to their spirit consciousness.
Well, it's the same as fishing, isn't it?
Exactly the same as fishing, yes.
But people don't realize what's happening when they go fishing.
Exactly, and it is exactly the same as running, or as doing acrobatics, or something else which you are actually engaging your mind in a different way. And what you're doing by doing that is you are creating this vacuum space between within a self and your spirit. And you are actually allowing that form of contact through this rarefied atmosphere you have created through your absence of self. That's the point we have to make here. It's through your absence of self. So you have a little tingling on the skin of your arm or something like that, and the first person that you think of that comes to your mind springs into your imagination, perhaps a favorite aunt, uncle, perhaps not, perhaps even someone you cannot even remember from your childhood. Something as rare as that can have a sudden visitation upon you because they want to make contact, their love for you. They've seen a space as you dwell at the twilight part of within a self between consciousness and semi-automated states of awareness, as I say, created by such activities as running, as swimming, perhaps, or as smoking a pipe, cooking.
Doing the washing up. Just
yes.
Anything that where you just aren't particularly thinking about anything, and there's a space there.
Yes, and the thing that you should do immediately you feel that and acknowledge that as a possibility is say, hello, friend. Welcome. You see, isn't that simple? Hello, friend, welcome. How lovely of you to visit with me. That's all that it takes.
So it's a signature perfume, tobacco, the smell of food, that sort of thing. It's a signature from the spirit world, from a loved one, and usually it's the first thing that you, the first person that you think of that comes with that signature is usually right. Usually,
yes.
It is usually that person.
Yes, that's quite true. So, it's usually that person.
So, when you're grieving, and we've talked about this, how it gets in the way, doesn't it?
It can do,
the
yes.
emotional stress of strain of your mind and body, the vibration that you create gets in the way.
Yes, of course. But at the same time, of course, we're not saying that you should keep it bottled up. What we're actually saying, and yes, we acknowledge that there is a call there, we acknowledge, too, that this is something which we're saying, yes, you obviously grieve at these moments, but time will pass. The essence of this is also that you must understand if you contain that anguish and that form of negative energy about it and not realize that they're actually quite safe and well, and stop attracting the selfishness to self, or what have I lost, rather than that person is in such a beautiful state, that is something then which will continue to provide a more positive energy.
Hello, caller.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon.
Hello, who's this?
This is Anne.
Hello, Anne.
Hello,
how
Anne.
Are you?
Okay.
Hello, Sylvie and Mick.
It's Gregory, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, friend.
I wanted to ask, please, if there is anything at this point in time that needs to be communicated from the other side that may help me.
Oh.
And this is to do with a specific situation, friend, for you.
A specific situation, I would say, regarding my birth. What was in place, I'm going to say that that may help me deal with what's going on at the moment. I inherited from my father a very, very rare blood and liver genetic disease.
Yes.
And obviously it was my choice to be born to my parents. But there were issues, and I'm just wondering if there are any messages
yes.
that I'm not receiving, Gregory.
Yes, I understand, my
I
dear
I know
friend.
You do.
Yes, I do understand. The situation is, my dear friend, what you... I am so pleased that you align yourself to the fact that, yes, you have, in a sense, chosen it, but... I also have to say, my dear friend, that it may well be that the spirit world is not necessarily au fait with every single physical complication which may or may not arise due to genetic defects or genetic mismatch between various peoples. That is a myth. And the fact is that situations of physicality, if you will, the whole situation surrounding a physical life is that you engage with life as you find it, and that for some people, as we have often said, a babe in Africa lasts just 3 days. It doesn't mean to say their life is any less or their suffering any greater, and it doesn't mean to say either that their time is less provincial, is less aware, purely because they've only been there for 3 days.
But
now, for you, in your experience, you are suffering from this this situation which is gradually progressive.
Yes. And did I choose this, Gregory?
No. This is what I'm saying, my dear friend. It's a myth to say that people choose a specific life, that they choose to become, how we say, that they choose to say, well, yes, I'm going to have a life as a cripple, so I'm going to be in this person's body, or anything like that. It doesn't actually work like that at all. It's a myth of to do with karma and reincarnation and all of that. It's a way of explaining away a set of conditions which are actually outside the spirit world's remit. You see, what you have to understand is that the spirit world are not responsible for everything that happens in physical actuality.
Okay.
In fact, you are, when you decide to have a physical life, you are in part subject to the conditions of that physical life and how that environment impacts upon it. So, my dear friend, what I'm saying is that if you are a being who has unfortunately had a difficult physical life, and perhaps, yes, you may well have succumbed to some physical or mental abnormality, that was through genetics, and it is through genetics that that situation transpires through the DNA, the change in DNA, because do not forget, you are a mutation of your parents, as everyone is who is born in physical life. And what we are saying is that that is a premise which is fixed in physical time. You as a spirit, however, are able to transcend those worries and those concerns, if you will, if you are perhaps you are able to engage with in your spirit communication, spirit awareness. You are able, perhaps from time to time, to ask for healing from the spirit world in very specific situations. There are methods also for you to teach yourself to be more aligned to specific energies.
Gregory,
in the
I do.
World.
I mean, are,
yes,
aren't
I'm
you
not
thinking...
saying that you don't, my friend. But what I'm saying is, however, there are possibilities that you can be actually quite specific about this.
Okay. Is there anything that I need to hear from the spirit world now that may help all the various situations?
Well, what I have to say, my dear friend, is that even in the times when you feel that you're on your own, that it's almost as though you feel isolated and bereft, that the energies around you are not with you, that I know, my dear friend, that you pray for release from this, from these encroaching feelings upon you. And I have to say that, again, that there are ways in which you may engage with others, ask of others to help you, to give you healing. Friends of yours, others who may, even if they don't actually understand that they have any healing gifts, the point is that they do. Everyone does.
Yes, no, I understand that, and I do ask.
Yes.
But for some reason I'm being blocked, and that's what I'm trying to understand. What changes I can do. That's why I'm asking if the spirits have anything to say that would help at this point.
Yes. What I have to say, my dear friend, is that you know there are ways forward for you, and that at times in the solitude of your whole condition, in the solitude of your mind, there are times when you can experience utmost peace. And what you have to realize is that the energy from the spirit world surrounds you in ways of extreme love and extreme tenderness, that what they will of you is that you not be fearful. I'm not saying that these are imminent events. What I'm saying, however, is that if you think in terms of what you are going through tomorrow could be similar or worse to what you've gone through today, you are diminishing your life.
I understand that, Gregory, but that has nothing to do with me. What you're mentioning are all excellent points, but that has nothing to do with the way I'm proceeding.
Yes.
I am not fearful.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying this, my dear friend, also for the benefit of others, because we cannot be superiorly personal to you, even though we wish to be. I am saying to you, my dear friend, and for the benefit of all people, that if you are in a situation as you are with your liver, blood, and that kind of thing, that these are conditions which are, in a sense, that can be beyond the physical scope of your perception of help, but what the spirit world are trying to say to you is that there are conditions when and you do connect. And what I'm saying is that the connection that you make is right and proper, and that they will continue to do that, to show and inspire you that although you may feel that elements of your life are disturbing you, I'm not saying that you're fearful, but some people are apprehensive of these things. And I'm saying that in just the same way, my dear friend, as a person who is, in a sense, coming to a point where they realize that the threshold is close, and I'm not saying that you are, you're not, but that in even those times, people can understand that the relationship between themselves and their higher spirit state is one of supreme consciousness, and that you only really, at the end of the day, you are not going to feel the situations of suffering that you observe in others, purely by keeping your awareness and your gifts of spirit to continue to develop this as a way of their connection with you. And you will, in fact, be entreated by many others from the spirit world who are already around you now.
Anyway, Anne, thank you for your call. If the thing, if I mean, we do particular readings shows. If you want to book up for an Akashic reading sometime, a mini free Akashic reading on one of our shows, then Gregory can go into far more detail because he would have your Akashic records there.
Oh, I see.
Okay. So,
this is the first time I've listened to your program, and it's wonderful.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Well, welcome aboard, and do stick listening to the show, and you'll get into more of a hang of how it goes. But like I say, we do particular reading shows periodically, and at any time you can get in touch with us.
Yes.
Our website, I'll give you that now, spirit-teaching.com, and on there, you have a browse around our website, and it will be registered on there when we are going to have another mini free show, a reading show.
All right. I see now your website on BBS. All right. Excellent.
Okay, and you get in touch.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Yes, I'd like to say thank you for anybody that might have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing dealing with death. And if you would like to phone us, it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And an international call is not free, I'm afraid, but it's only a quick call. Come on, it's only, price of a glass of wine. 001-530-876-3222. And the questions really are about our subject around death, really. That's really what we're talking about, okay? It's not a reading show per se today. But, however, we welcome anybody's input, and if it's important to them, then it's important to us, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. I couldn't have put it better myself.
So, yeah, and the reason that we did this show is because we are continually getting emails, so many emails all of the time. How do I deal? You know, I've just lost a loved one. How do I deal with this? What do I do? In explaining the death experience in the way of how it is for us and what it is like for the person that's just died, I think.
Yes.
I think we need to move on to that.
Yes, very well.
Side of the subject, really.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So we will take our specific auntie that we were talking about, and what we see is that as this auntie will say, she's lying in a bed or something like that. So this is a gradual process, perhaps passing with some form of cancerous condition, something like that. So we'll be well medicated if the medical services have it right. And so the situation will be a very minimal amount of pain or suffering or any of that form. And it actually will be that perhaps that person is experiencing a great many times when they are in a sense, having slight out-of-body experiences. It's as though they are sleeping a lot. Perhaps they are, during those sleep times, actually journeying at times, not all the time. Obviously, some of the time they'll be resting, just physically resting. But at other times, they will be making journeys to the spirit world and actually will be visiting their other loved ones, ancestors, friends perhaps, or even people they've never even met before in the physical world, and will be reacquainting themselves with those contacts. And this, in essence, is exactly the same as many of the situations you have in your dream state in normal waking life, or in your normal scheme of life, shall we say. So it is exactly the same as having these brief little excursions, out-of-body experiences, maybe even that you have illuminations in the mind consciousness. Perhaps, as I say, when you are absent-mindedly disconnecting with yourself, or perhaps when you're doing some other task that you are creating in a mechanical way, something that doesn't actually require you to think too much about it, so you are actually able then to allow your mind to wander. And it isn't that it's wandering in the fields of imagination. What it's doing is wandering in the fields of illumination. That's a completely different situation. And what will actually happen is that you as a being will move in and out of these states of consciousness as though you are winding down a pathway. And that gradually, as your dis-ease gradually further progresses and your heart rate and everything else begins to slow and begins to succumb to the passing state, then quite simply your spirit journeys will become more and more pronounced. And you will actually feel less and less inclined, perhaps, to make the stays in your physical life as a permanent thing as they were. So the transition happens in a gradual way in this disease, in this way of passing. And perhaps then, as a patient, you actually just lapse into an unconscious state, and then your spirit is merely, as it were, just hovering, just waiting for that final release of your physical state to actually shut down itself. And then you just simply pass. It's just like stepping into another room. The actual point of passing, you feel no pain. The points leading up to physical passing, you may feel pain depending upon the physical condition, and that is something which always locates fear for a human being. But in just the same way as many women experience in childbirth, the pain of childbirth, and all that that entails, and then how many times have you heard it that after that time, they want to go and have another one, even though they may well have actually had a most excruciating time in their childbirth, they want to go and have another one. And so they do. So it's not as though that painful memory is something which is strictly located in the present memory. It soon becomes a past memory. And in exactly the same way in the spirit world, when you transpire to the spirit world, your physical passing and the method of it is something which was just a temporary condition. It's there and then it's gone. That is something, of course, that may well be reflected back to you, as I have said so often before, in mediumship readings, that kind of thing, when the person has a condition of this or that ailment, perhaps heart, chest, lung disorder, throat cancer or something like that, or liver or kidney failure or whatever it was, and that will produce resulting pains upon the medium in those various places. They're merely recollection pains, recollective pains of the physical state that is to do with the awareness of the memory of that state. It's not present now. And that's really all that you have to remember, that it's just like walking into another room. In fact, it's less distant than walking into another room, because you're merely stepping outside of your physical state into the ether world, the paradise we call home.
We lost we didn't lose a dear friend, I think he's probably here now, but a friend of ours passed a few weeks ago,
yes.
And And she actually was observing her body with her best friend.
Yes.
Wasn't she? Who
yes.
had passed the year before, because she was saying, oh, I hope my friend is there, because, you know, I really, that is bringing me a lot of comfort. And not only was she there, she was, she was there instantly. And not only was our friend observing her body, but her dear friend was observing it with her.
Yes.
I mean, that is...
in fact, they were holding hands.
Were they? Were they?
Yes.
Right. And her children were in the room as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was nice. But and I was impressed with what she said. What did she say about how she didn't realize it was so easy? And,
yes.
you know, like, all this fuss, and she died of cancer, and it was over quite a period of time.
Yes.
And but all of the fuss and everything leading up to it, and she said it was just nothing.
Yes.
Nothing.
It was just so simple.
Mm. Yes, and she's been back most days.
Yes, absolutely so.
Mm. And she comes with a rather cold energy, which is very welcoming in this weather at the moment, because it's a bit jolly warm. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You see, and so perhaps then also we ought to turn to someone who doesn't pass in such circumstances, who
yeah.
passes in great agony and mm. pain. And that, of course, is something which is always so reflected in the minds and consciousness of those loved ones who are there watching it, observing it. Particularly if that person is really fighting it all the way. And I don't digress from the fact that I'm well aware of the fact that many human beings try to fight this all the way up to the last with great courage and fortitude. And really, but the point is that every being has to realize that there is a point when all of the anxiousness comes from the distraction of fearing the passing state. And the very fact that even if you are someone who is very troubled by the dis-ease that you have, that perhaps it is an extremely excruciating, painful way to pass, what you must understand is that much of this, especially in your modern day now, can be alleviated through medication. We didn't have that in my day at all. I'm quite lucky myself because my passing was very quick, being decapitated and all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really feel anything at all, and I cannot actually remember that much about it.
Well, and this is a case in point, like you were saying, that the actual act, you know, of passing, the actual instant is the same for everybody. So, you
yes.
know, when if you are blown up in a wartime situation or anything like that, or drowned, or it's the same. It's exactly the same.
Yes. It is obviously the point that leads up to
yeah.
passing that is the thing which physically happens to you, which may or may not be painful. It depends on how quick that is.
Mm. And I think a lot of people do say, well, you know, it's not the death. It's not death, it's how, really. But
yes.
Do you think that we make things worse for ourselves because sometimes our imagination can run riot with us? And
yes.
You know, and it's the same in life very often. Very often if you're dreading something, it's not always as bad as you imagine.
No, indeed not. In fact, much of the fear surrounding it is something which actually then accentuates the pain that you're suffering from. Take, for example, if you have something wrong with your leg or your arm, perhaps you have broken it, or perhaps you have done something, perhaps damage the muscles or
mm-hmm.
something like that, then what you'll be familiar with at the time, what you'll be thinking at the time, is the pain that you are in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something which will draw you and your attention to it.
Yes.
And purely by doing that, you are, in fact, exacerbating it because the rest of your body is in tension. And because it's intention, you are actually making that situation worse. You are creating intention, therefore you are supplying more blood, more energy to that area of conflict. And what you're then doing is you're making your heart race. So you are empowering a negative reaction. You are increasing the vibration intent as well. So it's something which is overtaking your mind. I agree that some would say this very activity then releases pheromonic activity, which in a sense enables you to have a kind of out-of-body experience, particularly if the pain is very intensive. But what I have to say, my dear friends, is that there are ways in which you can concentrate upon very specific parts of your physical body, and that by you building up a development of this concentration over a period of time, and I really do suggest that you do this whenever you can, really, that if you have 5 or 10 minutes of downtime, as you would call it, when you aren't having to do anything at all, then try it for yourself. Stick your thumb in the air and quite simply concentrate upon it. Pretend that it is your thumb which is in pain, in deep agony over something. You might even want to attach a paper clip to it or something like that to simulate that kind of feeling. And then what you would do is you will use your consciousness to step away from that feeling of pain. Just try it. Attach a paper clip or some kind of clip to your thumb. And although to begin with that is something that you feel, you then may be able to step into a meditative state whereby you are able to actually step away from that pain, that center of energy. Then you'll find that you are able to relax. And you are able to actually move away from that circle of pain, perhaps allowing the nerve centers around your skin to actually lessen their attraction, not increase it because of the pain. And that's something that you can actually physically actively do in your life.
And then you can move that onto the area of
yes.
pain that you really, really do have.
Exactly.
When you need it.
Yes, exactly. It's almost in a simple way of the physical body self-medicating against a particular problem that you may have.
So a positive attitude helps in most things. Anyway, we know that. But in this situation particularly, what about for the spirit person who tries to communicate? Because this is another question that
yes.
comes up time again.
Yes.
They're trying to communicate with the person still left, the loved one still on earth. But what is it that they feel or sense or wonder? What happens behind the scenes that we can't see to that person when they're trying to communicate and get through to us?
Yes, well, actually, what they're trying to do, it's almost as though they're saying trying to give you one sense, and what you're receiving may well be something completely different, and that's purely because either of their ineptitude or your inability to pick it up. This obviously can be extremely frustrating for both sides, both you and the loved one trying to communicate with you. That's the point, really, to remember that this is a situation which needs patience. Patience may not be the virtue of a lot of people, but it's something that you have to acquire if you really want to be able to communicate with a loved one in the spirit world who has recently passed.
What about their emotional state? You know, you were saying that it helps if we can not get too emotional when we're trying to communicate with them.
Yes, as I am saying this, my dear friend, we do appreciate that people get very emotional at the point of someone's loved one's passing because they will miss them, because their love for them, they didn't want them to suffer and they did, or something like that.
Yes, and we're not saying don't grieve.
No, absolutely not. They're quite right, yes. But actually what can then happen is that if a person is obstructive, so they're mourning this loved one, and they're in a state of great distress, it may well be, actually, that this state of mourning actually brings on the spirit world and actually enables that loved one who has passed to communicate directly. It may well be that the loved one actually comes to them at a time when they are not quite so distressed, perhaps when they're just in their sleep state or they're waking up or something like that, mm-hmm. or perhaps in the middle of the night or something. And what actually happens is that the spirit of that person just suddenly materializes. There they are at the bottom of the bed or at the side of the bed or whatever, and they're... And or maybe they don't actually see them. Maybe, though, that they actually feel them stroking their hair or something like that, doing something which is of a loving sensation toward them, trying to show them that they're all right, that they're still present, even though not necessarily seen. That is something really of trying to reassure them so that their negativity and anxiety, which has been building over this situation, is then seen to be less and dissipates. We have to see and acknowledge both that there may be time which needs to be covered for a person in physical state to heal over the passing of a loved one, and also, to a certain extent, for the being in the spirit world to heal also. However, it can be that the physical state of a person toward that loved one who has passed may well endure still more if they continue to focus upon it.
Yes, we've heard that some people say that the spirit has a time of rest and recuperation when they get to the spirit world after they pass.
Yes, not in your friend's case, of course.
No, not at all.
You see, the point is, I have to say, that some people who are already spiritually aware or have an awareness of their spirit makeup, it is quite a simple act to pass to our side of life, and they are immediately active. The children as well, of course, will do this, even though they may not have had any spiritual evocation within their life journey. It may well be that it's something, as usually is the case with children, that they are just merely present as soon as they pass.
Yes, and we're not saying that you have to be a medium or anything like that.
No.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about just...
Everyday people.
Everyday people. An open mind helps. And what about, is it good to prepare yourself for your own death in a purposeful way?
Yes, I would say so. It is. It's very therapeutic. For example, if you know of that your passing is becoming imminent, that you set your affairs in order, purely because it's nice to feel, for a person to feel, that they have all their affairs made up and that they then don't have anything to worry over or fret over and think about. They don't have to think about whether they are going to, you understand, pay the material things or whatever. That's all something that's taken care of.
Well, things that niggle you here are going to niggle you there, aren't they? I mean, I'll be over there, I'll be doing other things, it won't matter, but you will still be linked and you'll still have ties.
Yes.
And it will still affect you.
Yes, and some people get quite held back on our side of life because of facets of their physical life that they didn't deal with before they passed.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, the what ifs.
Many, many what ifs. The what-ifs have a field day with some people.
I'm sure. And you we've almost out of time, but you work in the reception chamber. That's one of your many tasks in the spirit world. So
yes.
You've seen quite a lot of things, and we haven't got time to go into that now, but maybe one day, I know it might sound a bit gory, but I think it's fascinating to us, the service that is possible in the spirit world, and... how you deal with some of these situations, really. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, and everyone is different.
And everyone is different, yes, absolutely. So,
yes.
Well, we'll leave that for another time.
Very well, then.
Yes, well, I think hopefully anybody who is in a situation at the moment where they are maybe at the bedside of a loved one that's about to pass, will have found some comfort in what we've been talking about today.
Yes, we do hope that that is the case. And as always, the spirit world are so very, very close, less than a fingertip away, in fact, to your life. And with that, we say God bless and love be with you as always in your journey.
Thank you, Gregory. And I'd just like to mention our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Spirit's Work, and you've been listening to Mick Avery, Deep Trance Channel, Gregory Hay. My name is Sylvie Avery. Thank you so much. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.